Unlike the other Chileans who'd arrived in Vancouver via air, we'd come by land, my father at the wheel of a 1970 baby blue two-door Chevrolet Malibu bought for $70 in San Diego, California. Crossing the border into Canada in the early summer of 1974, we'd driven down Oak Street on a clear blue day, the North Shore Mountains a beacon in the distance. We left Chile in December 1973, just 3 months after the coup. My mother had been fired and fingered as an mirista, she was, to the military by the right-wing dean of Austral University. Miristas were amongst the most wanted because during Allende's government, the MIR was the only organization that had openly called for arming the people in order to defend socialism. Formed in 1965 in the universities, the MIR had stood for revolutionary change since its inception. Within months of Pinochet's takeover, most of its central committee was imprisoned, had been disappeared, or were dead. A year later, its secretary general, Miguel Enriquez, would be murdered in a shootout, and most of the MIR's membership, made up of students of all social classes, teachers, factory workers, miners, peasants, homemakers, artists, soldiers, liberation theology clergy, and more, were in jail, exiled, or in deep hiding. If it hadn't been for Giovanna, my mother's best friend, Mami would probably have been dead or in a concentration camp. Giovanna was an Italian-American from San Francisco who had moved to Chile in 1970, just before Allende's win. Her Chilean husband, a diamond smuggler wanted in Europe, had brought her there, and it wasn't long before she became politicized. Many other foreigners arrived at that time, not following a spouse, but in order to witness Allende's peaceful road to socialism, and, more importantly, to offer their solidarity work. Giovanna's marriage didn't last. When it ended, she decided to stay on and be a part of history in the making, revolutionary socialist change without the armed revolution. She taught alongside my mother in the English department at the university in Valdivia. They became fast friends, and many evenings were spent in a large wooden house on the shores of the Calle Calle River, where their colleague, James, a British professor from Oxford University who had come to support Allende, lived with his wife and children. A revolutionary Swede lived in their attic, and he spent copious amounts of time pounding away on a typewriter. When the coup happened, James's house was raided, and the military, led by plainclothed secret policemen, tore the attic apart. But the Swede was nowhere to be found. They even combed the river, where they discovered the famous typewriter lying under the currents. The evening before the raid, Giovanna and James had had the presence of mind to let themselves into the attic and burn every last document found in boxes upon boxes belonging to the Swede, who they assumed was in hiding somewhere. As they incinerated the papers through the night, they skimmed over the writing. The documents made it clear that the Swede was unequivocally in the MIR, had extensive military schooling, and was one of those in charge of arming and training the Mapuche people in the nearby indigenous community of Neltume. The document stated in no uncertain terms that the coup had been planned far in advance and even correctly predicted its date. It was evident that the MIR had infiltrators in the highest echelons of the Chilean military because the documents went into minute detail about said preparations and named CIA members who had come from the United States for the purpose of overseeing the coup. Reading the contents of those documents before setting them ablaze cracked Giovanna's mind wide open. She had been an apolitical jet-setter when she'd arrived only 3 years earlier at the age of 23, had quickly fallen in love with Allende's socialist project, and now found herself reading the top-secret documents of the most wanted revolutionary organization in Chile. It was later said by exiled miristas that the Swede managed to cross the Andes into Argentina after keeping the military at bay for days in Neltume. Once on the other side of the border, he joined the Revolutionary People's Army. 3 years later, in 1976, he was arrested by the Argentinian secret police. He remains disappeared.